Yeah, I do. I do. But that's okay. That's okay. As long as I get my disability, I'll be happy.
No ticket sites for nighttime sleeping.
Nope, not yet.
Harassment for daytime strumming or busking.
Not yet.
Just the two that we heard about.
Just what I reported before. So,
keep me advised of those.
Okay, we'll do, Robert.
We're going to talk with
Mark, Mandolin Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
All right. Any reports, sir?
Nope. Sorry.
All right. Reports from the street? Any street reports, sir?
Not really anything new at this time, no.
Okay. Well, keep me brief, you know.
We'll do that.
What about you?
Same.
All right. Any street reports?
Okay.
No. Steve, anything from your neck of the woods?
I recently heard Mother Jones mentioned on the radio. I didn't know the magazine was still around.
The person or the magazine?
The magazine.
Oh, yeah. Well, the liberals are always masquerading as radicals. You know, that's an old trick. Anything out in the street outside? Anything, any news of any kind?
No, not at the moment. Got a lot of decisions, headache. So I'm going to try to get that headache gone before I...
How's your health?
Speaking. Health? Good.
Bathroom?
Broken rib.
Broken rib happened because of...
Non-displaced fracture.
Due to human agency, or how'd that happen?
Yes. Out of a pub kind of thing?
It wasn't a police action.
No.
Well, that's good to hear. All right, we talking with...
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Steve. Any reports, sir?
I like that. Freeze.
Divided and freeze. That's good.
Take care of it. Any reports? You were telling me, I don't know if you got time before we get to the food.
Oh, yeah. I've been talking kicked with... out of... Oh, Travis. Uh-huh. Been kicked out of City Hall more than 13 or 14 times just in this year.
But three times recently? Or?
Oh, it's just usually escaping rain or some bad weather or windy situations. But
I can't say, you don't mean inside the building, you mean under the eaves?
No, just under the eaves, yeah. It was usually by security guards, like first alarm, around 11 o'clock at night, 2 in the morning.
And what's your response to this? Do you sing them Merry Christmas? Or
no.
You exit shrieking.
I'm just, I was just thinking about that the entire time, that one of these people with their higher sobriety pledge allegiance is rubbing the fact in our face that they just got to go on a vacation in Hawaii and told us about puppies getting abused.
And that happened with one of those guards who spoke to you?
No, that just happened to a speech that just happened now. Right here
at the Red Church.
Yeah.
Puppy abuse, a serious question here
ever
in Santa
heard the song, Dead Puppies Aren't Much Fun?
I never have.
Well, it was by Dr. Seuss? Oh, I'm sorry. It was...
Dr. Demento?
Dr. Demento.
Believe that demented idea.
Dead
we've been talking...
Puppies aren't much fun.
We've been talking with...
Travis.
Thanks, Travis. We're talking with someone who's a former Washington, close to the Washington border resident.
I don't have any comment.
No
I just
comment.
Had a question about what he said.
Okay.
I didn't understand really what the main point was, other than he was disgusted.
Maybe if I see him, I'll ask him.
I wanted to know why. Yeah.
Yeah. And you should, too. Why not? First alarm gave you a wake-up call?
Yeah, a wake-up call. This morning, actually.
With coffee or without?
Without, and they... Just
tickets?
Stood there. No tickets.
Hassles?
No. And I just woke up and then walked around and went back to the same spot and went to sleep.
And how many hours of sleep did you get last night?
Maybe 6, but I was trying to get a little bit more.
You want to share with us your secret spot?
Absolutely not.
All right.
It's not entirely secret. It's just, it's not even my spot. It's just a...
It was your spot last night.
Yeah. No.
No.
Not my spot.
It was the spot you happened to be
just
in.
Just a spot. Or a, yeah.
One of those spots. We've been talking with, if you wish to say.
G.
Thank you, G. Any reports from the street? For free radio, we're doing kind of, you know, reports on things that happen for people outside.
Oh, we haven't been on the street.
Oh, that's good. Stay off the street unless you like it out there. You know. Any reports for free radio? Anything happened to you want to pass on? Things you've thought about? Things that happened? You know, police, good people, you name it. Look like you've been painting.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I might lose my job because I didn't understand my boss, because mostly he speaks Spanish, so it was difficult for me to... But I've only been around Santa Cruz for maybe a month, but there's a lot of nice people here.
Are you indoors or outdoors?
I'm outdoors. I'm was in a rehab for a little while. I'm trying to get back in.
Dig it. And no tickets?
Hmm?
Tickets by police or ranger?
No contact with police. I've encountered, what's it, the warming shelter?
The warming center.
The warming center, thank you. They were helpful, they were nice. And then also, what's it, food, not bombs?
No bombs, I'm more arrow, yeah.
They were quite helpful as well.
What's your name?
Keith.
Thank you, D. Yeah. I'll let you go eat, so you...
thank you.
That might be more... That's the reason you're here.
Right.
Any... Yeah, no, we...
Not right now.
Hey, no problem.
I'm concentrating on this.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, oh, I said something.
Any streets, reports of any kind?
Same old bullshit.
Anything particular?
No. I think everybody else knows about it.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, Merry Christmas.
All right. Any reports from the street?
Not right now, boss. All
right, then. Any street reports, sir?
Got busted mother loving Navy war.
Can you clarify that statement, sir?
At least we're not in war. We're actually in a time of relative peace right now.
Well, unless you are happen to be in Iraq, yeah. Afghanistan, or any of the other places around the globe, or the U.S. has troops.
We're in America, we're not getting blown up, except for what happened in Northern California.
Well, you're just paying for other people to get blown up. That's what you
got nuked.
Well, collateral damage.
All those weapons we got, all those toxic bio weapons we got stashed. Anything can happen.
We need them to defend our country, sir.
Oh, yeah, right. That's why we got 30,000 tons of it.
Well, the more the merrier. Besides, it helps keep the economy going, right?
Yeah. Make money. Make bombs, make money.
Are you still housed, we hope?
Yeah. Good. Loving every second of it. Getting my low housing. I have my low housing.
And what about you, sir? What do you think about this individual we just spoke to?
Oh, no. They're shooting mortars at us. Oh, well. The more the merrier.
We'll leave you now, then. Any reports from the street?
No, thanks. Not today.
Thank you. And to break up the merriment, here is a little Joan Baez and her latest song. I don't know how sure if it's her latest, but it's called Nasty Man. And I suspect it's about Fuhrer Trump.
Song about a man gone wrong, while building up his evil empire. And after months of ifs and buts, the papers got the guts to call the man of the year a liar. To call the man of the year a liar. Hustling and bustling across the big green lawn, stomping through the famous rose garden. But every little rose turned up its pretty nose, saying you owe the earth a pardon. Saying you owe the earth a pardon. Fumbling and bumbling through the halls at night, turning every light switch on. You're searching for the room where you used to be the groom, but she's packed all her jewelry and gone. Yeah, she's scooped up all her jewelry. Corn and lima beans it written all out. They'll only give me gout. And that's unbecoming for a future dictator. That's unbecoming for a future dictator. And you're gonna build a wall, the biggest wall, the beautifulest wall around our borders. But here's what I think, you better talk to a shrink, 'cause you got serious psychological disorders. You've got dangerous pathological disorders. Well, that's my little song about a man gone wrong. He's nasty from his head to his feet. And when the dirt on this man hits the fan, and no one gives a damn about his tweets, he'll be finally and forever obsolete.
And again, that was Joan Baez, Nasty Man.
We don't need dictators control.
We're still breathing.
As many of us are. Sure. Those of us aren't saying anything.
Right.
Thank you. Any?
You asked. I'm getting in line again.
All right. Well, that's you know, why not? Any street reports, Zali?
I just got bought up with that little fucking Nazi. I turned off my fucking phone out there. It's just I can't be out there talking. Dude, I'm trying to turn off my phone and turn off things so it occurs to thing. You can run into this little fucking thing with total impolite curse. He's acting like I'm some, you know. Yeah.
Steve, the sextant you're talking about.
I don't know who the fuck he is. I don't know his name.
Yeah, that's his name.
Kiss you out beyond here and I'll fuck him up.
Anything else happening you want to pass on?
Oh, I got two pairs.
You got some falsies there?
I got one.
I see you got a piggy nose there.
The cops have been fucking loving me out here lately.
Really?
I just had the gang unit come by and just say, then I had that guy Gates walking out there. Boy, he did a total 180 with me, man. Once you figure out what I'm about. Hey.
Take care. It's a story.
Okay, well, I'll tell you in a minute. But one of them is about my. Don't record this part.
All right.
Okay, we're talking with a rearranger here, and I like to give back to us, the homeless, who seem to be hassled and harassed constantly by the city ranger. That's why the rearranger is the one who follows the city ranger, and when he stops and gets out to F you with somebody, I jump in the back of his truck, take all the stuff out, and redistribute it. I always can't find the right person, but I try to give it back to the public. And remember, the rearranger loves you.
The biggest thing is we don't know who you are, and we're not likely to find out. Thank you, sir. And Father Joel Miller is talking about December 20th, Memorial Day.
December 20th is a celebration. It's a celebration of all the homeless people who in 2018 have passed on. And we call it a celebration because those lives are full of wisdom and knowledge of how to survive, how to face huge trauma and stress. And so we celebrate their lives.
Okay, so you want more for today?
Yeah, sure. I love this. This is really, really good. The Philippines had to cook something. It wasn't fish.
Great joy. Yeah. To remember. Big deal there.
Chicken is the
only thing left. I'll
take them all. Which is wrong. This is supposed to be popular.
God can't ever create life, destroy it. God gave life that was eternal. So we say in the church, life is not.
God is watching.
It changed. So God is. December 28th, 11:00.
That I believe in. You will.
Of course, 18 brownies, just one brownie.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And of course, there's only one bagel left as I come to the bagel shop. So what's the story? Have you abandoned Conscience in Action, or has Conscience in Action abandoned
They've
you?
They've abandoned me because they have no... they don't want to put up with me. I don't blame them.
I would put up with you any day.
Yeah.
Just as long as you don't wear that...
I'm going to come to the next... Well, there's going to be a meeting coming up pretty soon where we'll sit down and decide what we're going to be working on.
Well, announce it. Let me know. Because the last one I announced...
Did anybody show up?
I did, and I think one other person and a bunch of other Huff people. But
Nick
not,
didn't show up. That's a surprise.
No, Nick didn't show up. Anyway... anything you want to report for Free Radio about what's happening, upcoming events?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Phil.
Announcement, everybody. Most of you know what I'm going to talk about if you've got this flyer. This flyer talks about what's happening at the city or shitty council tomorrow. They're having their last meeting of the year, and on their agenda is more babble about homelessness and a sort of a very inadequate protection for renters. But... this is also the council meeting when new council members are going to be appointed. That happens at 7 o'clock. And they sometimes have a sort of a shindig across the street at the Civic Auditorium, which is open to the public and sometimes has drinks and some edibles. It doesn't always happen every year. I'm not sure what they're doing this year. But there's also a chance that there may be some tumult at the city council because they're stopping the rent freeze tonight, today after tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow, actually, the rent freeze ends. I know most of us here aren't renters. But for those who are, the rent freeze enacted by the city council in February ends tomorrow night. And some people there are pissed about it and are going to try to raise the roof. Why is it important for people who are outside? Because they haven't got any rents. They just got hassles and tents or sleeping bags or whatever you got or cars. Nonetheless... The worse the rent situation gets, the more people are driven outside, as most of you know. So if you want to come and check it out tomorrow, there are items on the afternoon agenda, and there's also a chance to talk at 5:30 about anything you want, briefly, for 2 minutes. And that's happening tomorrow at 5:30 at City Hall.
And there actually was no tumult at City Council, just a general coronation of the new city council, which now has a so-called progressive majority with Brown, Crone, Glover, and Cummins. And they even voted in Cummins sort of in an unprecedented move as the vice mayor, which usually goes to the previous high vote-getter, which would have been Cynthia Matthews in the last election. But they were looking forward to the next election, I should say, to the next election, when the next year, the next mayor would be Cynthia Matthews, because the vice mayor follows the mayor the next year. And if Cynthia Matthews is appointed vice mayor this year, she'll be mayor next year, and that she controls the agenda. And some of you may remember that it's David Chirazis, the outgoing mayor, who is no longer mayor, the former mayor, who was able to block putting on the agenda the rent freeze just eviction protection extension, which is really important for half the renters or half the people who live in Santa Cruz who are renters. So that did happen, but there was no demand and no action from the new progressive majority, either before they were seated or after they were seated, to demand that there be an emergency motion to extend the rent freeze. Instead, they sort of timidly followed along with Sandy Brown to put it on the January 4th agenda, giving the landlords the power to do whatever they want in the next month. And while it is true that there was an alternate measure, I think I may have mentioned this earlier in the show, that was passed in the afternoon, which may deter landlords somewhat, because it says landlords, if they're evicting people after November 27th without adequate cause and or refusing to extend their lease, then they will get they'll have to pay a couple months relocation fees, which it's I don't know what $4,000-$5,000, something like that. So that may deter landlords, but see, this is not an enforceable provision is the problem. It requires people to go to court. There's no real agency that enforces it. And even with the rent freeze in power for the last 8 or 9 months, there have still been instances of people being evicted in violation or having their rents raised in violation. So there was no action taken that might mobilize the community to realize that this is an important issue that some people in power are standing up for, or that others in the audience are demanding they stand up for. I think I was the only one in the audience that made any kind of demand that I remember on this issue, and no one listens to me, or some do, but apparently not enough, or at least not the right people, or not enough numbers. Back to the Red Church.
And then at 7 o'clock at City Hall, the new clowns are going to be replacing the old clowns, but there is still a bunch of angry renters there, and we're going to try to form a coalition with them, some of us who are activists around civil rights for homeless people. The next day, on...
And the renters weren't so angry, as I said. Though there was this shindig at the Civic Auditorium, which I didn't get to. Every 4 years after a new council gets elected, it's every 2 years, but every 4 years this ceremony happens. Maybe it's every 2 years. But in any case, this year there was they were setting up for, treats and drinks and so forth for people who want to meet and greet and chat with the new council, the three new council members, Justin Cummins, Drew Glover, and Donna Myers. You're going to hear me talking to them next. I'm going to play that segment. I didn't get to the festive after council meeting after they make all their wonderful speeches. I didn't stay for their speeches either, but I did do a little interviewing beforehand, and you're going to hear that after this segment at the Red Church and perhaps a few other. I think I'll play it probably directly after this with maybe a little intervening something to break up the tirade.
Wednesday at 11 o'clock, there's going to be a joint meeting of renters and homeless folks outside at the Sub Rosa Cafe, which is next to the bike church. That's 11 o'clock, Sub Rosa Cafe, free coffee, lots of jabber, no promises of any action, but it is happening. That's 11 on Wednesday. So here it is on this flyer. I'll leave a couple copies here. Grab them before Steve throws them away. Thank you.
And at the Huff meeting on Wednesday, I think two renters showed up. The head of the Renters Association, Cynthia Berger, who had some spirited ideas. Some of them have to do, I was suggesting we do some sort of eviction protests if we could learn about people being evicted. And you heard me asking Drew Glover about that earlier. He didn't have any idea except possibly for himself. That would be quite something to stand up against that. But there is otherwise, there was concern, I guess, at the Huff meeting about a woman being harassed who's living in her vehicle with presumably it's neighbors who are putting flyers on her vehicle that demand she move, that state that the police chief has agreed she has to move, even though there's nothing that violates the parking laws. The only thing that they had before was they had the sleeping ban, the law that Santa Cruz makes it illegal to sleep in a vehicle after 11 o'clock at night, which has been ruled, at least the city police chief is saying he's not enforcing that law at the moment. So she's just getting harassed. We talked about doing some kind of RV defense by doing maybe a sleep out or a camp out in the Woodrow Street area, which is where this harassment is going on. And we're going to still be looking into that further. if the person in the van wants us to do that and if we can muster the resources. If you're interested in this kind of thing, give me a call at the Huff line. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom at 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. So we have a couple of reports from Fresno where Mike Rhodes writes in with the group Fresno Homeless Advocates. He apparently attended the Fresno City Council meeting, which was happening today, and they allocated $420,000, he writes, to a team affiliated with Westcare, whatever that is, that accompanies the Fresno Police Department, calling itself the Hero Team. There was a refunding request that was pushed by H. Spees, who works closely with Mayor Lee Brand of Fresno. The mayor is expected to approve the request. I found it interesting that they seem pleased that they were able over the last 2 years to get 8 homeless people into housing per month. Fresno is a very huge city compared to Santa Cruz. Spees talked about the great job the city was doing to reduce homelessness. He said homelessness was down in Fresno almost 60% over the last 8 years. He went on to say that this figure comes from the HUD-directed point-in-time count that he admitted was flawed and not accurate. I would agree. When Spees failed to point out that the point-in-time count over the last 2 years shows homelessness in Fresno up by 32%, but I'm not going to push the point because the methodology of the count is too flawed. There are several reasons why it appears the count went down for a few years. The main reason is that after the city bulldozed the encampments downtown, the homeless spread out throughout the city, making them much harder to find. Add to that the fact that the Fresno Police Department's homeless task force relentlessly hunts them down and takes their property. Homeless people have become much better at hiding out. Sure, that makes the city able to claim that homelessness has been reduced, but anyone living here can see with their own eyes that there are more homeless people on the streets than ever. Sounds like Santa Cruz. Captain Bricka Farah, the head of the FPD Homeless Task Force, attended the meeting. He dressed for the occasion with his bulletproof vest and a gun at his side, telling us that what his team wears when they go out, that is what his team wears when they go out and confront the homeless for the crime of being too poor to have a roof over their heads. He was asked to stand with a representative of the Hero Team, and the audience was asked who they would rather talk to if they were homeless. In the afternoon at Fresno City Hall, they will discuss doing an audit of how money is being spent on the homeless. They will also show a video that I helped produce that gives the homeless themselves a voice in this discussion. It is several interviews of homeless people talking about what it is like interacting with the police in Fresno and telling us what would help get them off the street. Councilmember Luis Chavez has promoted and secured the funding $1 million for a low-barrier shelter that will provide beds for about 200 homeless people per night. That will double the number of beds available for the homeless in Fresno. And prior to that report, there was another email I got from Wayne Warkenton, also of Fresno, who is also writing the Fresno Homeless Advocates, which Mike Rhodes works with or is associated with or perhaps was addressing himself. And he writes this: Mike just saw this, but Homeless Task Force cleared out me and at least 7 others and 12 dogs at Thanksgiving. I have 5 human and 8 canine witnesses to it at Shields near Valentine. They're well hidden, but Bill is the leader of that group. Anita was camped nearby. As a result, I have a broken nose, a broken eye socket, concussion, fractured or sprained arm, shoulder and hand, sprained leg, and numerous cuts, thanks to the Homeless Task Force. One of those cleared out with a long gray beard, he was by a highway, told me, look online for the 9th Circuit Court of Appeals ruling, re-homeless property being seized. That's, of course, probably Martin versus Boise. Haven't had the computer and time access to do so yet. I know you won a lawsuit with the Rescue Mission case. That was way back in 2007, the Kincaid case. But they can't just discard homeless property. They must store it. They got my $150 Sears tent, lots of clothing, bedding, books, my new ATM bank card, and lots of EBTFS card due to them, too, and more. All 12 dogs were completely tame. All were at Shields near Valentine. Can you find out the status of me, of my, and others' property? We need to film testimony from Bill's group there. They're eyewitnesses to the homeless task force stealing all my stuff and theirs in a rainstorm the day before Thanksgiving. Can you get a camera and smartphone to do that? For evidence, I would meet you and introduce the filmer to Bill and his group and dogs. Sooner rather than later, Wayne. P.S. I make connection to get a lawyer in 11 minutes, three social workers at Fresno County, older adults, and one adult protective service are helping me already. And it says, contact me. And Mike Rhodes, apparently, I don't know if he's written back. I was going to try to give him a call. He did say there will be a discussion during an audit on how the city of Fresno has been spending money on their homeless issues at 10 a.m. at the city hall. And I guess that is what Mike was writing me about in the earlier thing I read about the way the money was being spent by Fresno authorities on dealing with homeless people. That is to say, seizing their property and driving them out of sight and providing a few beds for a few people for lots of dollars. Let's have a musical break, please.
He's mean and nasty, full of hot air. Maybe it's because he's got such bad hair. He wants to build a wall around the USA and round up bad Mexicans and ship them away.
Dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump.
He builds big towers for the super rich. His casinos take your money when you have a gambling itch. On The Apprentice, he screams till you're sick and tired. He gets his kicks by telling people they're fired.
Dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump.
He's gonna put China in his place. Hell, they make drapes for his hotels, for God's sakes. He says he rents space to the Chinese banks, and that makes him an expert as much as me, thanks.
Dump Trump.
He's got Robber Bear and friends to bring this country back, like Icon and Kravitz, who already gave us the sack. I never heard him give to the poor or any charity. All you hear from him is me, me, me.
Dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump.
Ivana and his new wife got those green cards fast. Money talks, so you wait years and wind up last. His new wife sounds like Germany, 1935. It's okay to round him up, we have to survive.
Dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump.
He's got sweetheart tax breaks on his skyscraper deals. We pay his taxes, so he thinks we're schlemiels. He keeps talking loud to get your vote, but a vote for him is like cutting your throat.
Dump Trump. Dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump.
He believes that only the strong survive. So forget your Medicare and SS if you want to stay alive. Pray you won't be carried out on a gurney while screaming, I guess I should have voted for Boiney.
Dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump, dump Trump.
Of course, no one had the chance to vote for Bernie once Clinton rigged the DNC, and no one's going to have the chance in the future. And, of course, Bernie himself bent over for Clinton once she got the nomination and said he was going to do that at the very beginning, so no one should have been surprised. Just a little addenda to that song called, I would call it Dump Trump. Yeah, it's a Dump Trump song by Lay and the Dumpettes, whoever they are. It's a little Trumpish or crude, but I guess that's the, Democratic Party dialogue. The issues are, of course, what I encourage people to focus on, because it doesn't matter who's running the show if the show agenda is the same. And now let's sashay over to the Ross Campground, or the Heroes Campground, as Keith McHenry called the campground. that is out behind Ross at the Gateway Shopping Center. These are some interviews from Monday or Tuesday, and some of them are interesting. One is a lengthy one with a park ranger. Check them out.
I'm awake.
Remember me?
I know, but I will.
I used to be Mike Bolgeros' girlfriend. I have a son. He joined the army, little stinker.
And you adopted this dog instead?
Oh, no. I just spoke to my son. He just graduated from school.
All right, well, we'll talk to you later, babe.
Huh?
If you're around and you feel like it, I'll talk to you later.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't live here. I stayed up with my daughter. I have a place in SoCal, but I got burglarized, so I don't want to stay there.
Dig it. So, we're talking with...
Patrick. God sent me.
And, Patrick, you don't stay at the campground here out at Ross. Today is December 10th, about, what, 9:30 in the morning? But... you do camp outside.
Yes, I do. I've been donating my time and cleaning up Mother Earth because in the area that I'm at, there's trash that has been left by previous campers. And I have been going around to several different sites, such like Tent City, the railroad tracks in the Poconos, other sites, and cleaning them up by myself, for myself.
How long you been outside?
15, 17 years.
Yeah. Have you noticed any difference in police treatment of campsites in the last 6 months?
Yeah, it's getting pretty laxed, pretty lenient.
Is that good?
A lot more than ever.
Good or bad?
It's good for us. The best thing that's happened to us in 100 years is everything turned into a misdemeanor for us.
And why is that the best thing in 100 years?
Well, whenever you heard something better than that, I mean, the more I miss, the meaner I get.
I'm not going to comment on that one. How big a group do you camp with?
7 people.
And do you move around, or do you pretty much stay in the same spot?
We stay in the same spot.
Any either hassles or even observation by rangers or cops?
Not in the last month and a half.
And is that because they don't know where you are? Because they
no, they do.
And you have access to, you know, trash pickups or anything like that?
No, I I get everything bagged and throw it away myself.
And if people want to take a crap or a piss, how many miles do they have to hike, or do they have to bury stuff nearby, or what's the deal?
Well, that's a problematic situation that's been happening for about 5 years now. They've been taking bathrooms away, trash cans away, actually bus stops, everything really, the amenities that we need on an everyday
basis,
exactly.
So... What's been your adapting to that? How do you deal with it?
Well, we go around and we search for outlets to charge things, because there's a lot of units that need electricity, of course. And so we're running into a lot of problems like that. And, you know, if you have those problems and you got a few bucks, it would be good to invest in a generator or something like that, so you don't burden other people or use their electricity.
How are you finding cafes treating people who are carrying backpacks or known to be living outside?
I think on the overall, there are certain places in this town, if you go to, they know you're homeless, they treat you like hell. If they don't, they give you the golden carpet.
And would that include, you know, the cafe here in this Ross complex?
The cafes here in the Ross complex, I would say Java Junction's a little bit uppity, but on the overall, they're pretty good here in the complex.
Who would you put on your shit list, and who would you put gold stars next to, if you want to say?
On my shit list, I'd put The Habit, because they're really arrogant people that basically got some funding and opened up a good establishment, but they are not public-oriented, or they don't like people, certain people in public.
How many times have you been there?
I've been there at least 7 times.
So you keep coming back in spite of their treatment?
Well, it's the location for me is ultimate, but McDonald's is right down the street, and it's a burger place that I don't like to frequent because of the vastness of the food there.
Meaning
how they prepare it and
fast foodish.
Yeah, fast foodish. They don't really have a charcoal broiler, or you know, it's more of a come in, spend your cash, and see you later.
Any difference from how they treat people from The Hobbit? And you say The Hobbit is worse.
Well, yeah. The reason why I say that is because The Hobbit has hired people that are teenagers, basically, that haven't really expanded their minds or thought about others enough.
So it's not a policy. You think it's more just inexperience?
Well, I went in. Let me just give you a for instance. I walked in and ordered two double burgers for me and a friend of mine. And by the time I got home and opened them, he opened his, I opened mine. They were two single burgers. And I think she pocketed the money for the price of the double, because I definitely paid for two doubles.
Did you go back and say, hey, hey?
I did. And they did not even hear me.
So they didn't give you a refund or the merchandise you ordered?
No, but she said, do you want a Coke for the problem? And I thought that was kind of interesting, or kind of like a way to say, hey, I hear you, but no one gives a damn, or, you know, like that kind
of. This was some time ago, or this is on one of the occasions?
This is just one occasion, and I've heard from several other homeless people when they go into establishments here in Santa Cruz that they get treated like homeless people.
And what about vigilante activity against folks outside? Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't.
So that's good news.
Yeah, that's good. And on the overall, I think Santa Cruz is coming around, and they realize that people are just going to be people.
Now, you're off to just crossing the pedestrian bridge, or are you going into the Ross camp?
No, I'm off to go across the bridge here. Uh-huh. Basically, I like let's say I like what these people have put together, but they put it together for all the wrong reasons.
And be more specific in this?
Well, we have a problem with medications here. People tend to say medications here are certain drugs that people prefer or whatever, and they realize that it's become, you know, a nationwide problem. And really what this tent city is shoot 'em up gallery.
Do you visit people here at all?
No, I don't, because I don't shoot up.
Do you think it's pretty much uniformly druggish, or that's just a mixture?
It's all about the nighttime.
And we've been talking with, if you want to say anything before we go,
Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick.
Should be on Free Radio's Thursday night.
Right on.
Yeah. It'll be archived.
At the Ross campground, it's about 15 to 10. Still the same two porta potties, still the same hand washing, still the same. No, there are only six trash cans now. And.
Hey, brother, how are you doing?
All right, yourself?
Pretty good. Looking for my bike.
Shit, haven't seen it.
Yeah,
but I just got out.
I'm
not living around here. But are you just. You're not a local who lives here?
No, I'm just snooping around trying to find my bike.
Well, good luck with that, man. People coming and going on bikes or walking. The ground is muddy, although I don't know if it rained last night. Perhaps it did. Folks are still in there. You know, there are a few folks outside the tents. It looks like the camp has expanded all the way to the far River Street gate. There's some very large tents that look like they're maybe four-person tents. At least one, two, three, four, five, six, maybe seven of those. The rest are small one- and two-person tents, or
4 tents. I guess the large ones, there's just one very large tent, looks like for, I don't know, 10 people maybe. It's as big as 3 tents, and someone's coming out of it. It's a morning in Santa Cruz. The hole in the fence at the freeway River Street intersection end of the campground. That's where I originally came into the campground, sort of checking things out. But there are at least a dozen tents now closer to that cut hole in the link fence. And now I'm going to count the tents, yeah, which include things like umbrellas. There are some pallets at this end, too. Okay. There's one tent on the other side of the fence, actually bordering the freeway. And only one. Making it about 90 tents, although really it's a rough count, and I'm kind of trying to do other contacts with people as I count. Cool, but also a couple of old guys. Looks like disabled guys. The ranger walking around checking things out. And some graffiti in the mud. Fuck the pigs. A picture of a pig. Hey, ranger man, how you doing?
I'm okay. How about yourself?
Good, good. Good. Luckily, I'm not living in a tent, so.
Well, it's very unfortunate for these people that they are.
It's good that it's not being harassed by rangers and cops, as has been the case in the past. So yeah.
Well, we're trying to provide them with a service and provide them with a place that they can be. This is actually, you know, the goal here. But as you can see, we are pretty much leaving people to their own devices and letting them self-police.
Which is good. Which is good.
But it's not that good.
No.
And it's not that good, right?
And it's not that good. That's not enough.
No, but yeah. When you have people actively spray painting on the ground, that's environmental hazard, that's environmental issues. When you have people leaving needles and for trash around and stuff like that, it's kind of working against themselves.
Is Parks and Rec doing any cleanups or just kind of leaving it to the folks here?
Well, actually, Parks and Rec has been spending some money on cleanup, and that's why I'm here, is we have a special cleanup crew that's going to be coming in.
Oh, good for you. Good for you, man.
And following up. But yeah. I've got to be honest. Why don't they clean up after themselves?
You got to talk to the individuals, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You see, that's the thing, is we're leaving this to them for self-policing. If they can make this work for them, great. But if it turns out to be an environmental nightmare, it's good. Something else is going to have to happen.
Well, I know a year ago, as you may remember, San Lorenzo Park was, you know, certainly there were more facilities than here. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason San Lorenzo wasn't opened up this year that you know of?
None that I know of. I believe the park was just being rehabilitated.
How's that going?
I don't know. I'm not in the maintenance department anymore. Rangers are now operating out of the police department.
But you've been doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
How many years?
I've been a ranger for 4 years now.
Oh, well, I took you for a ranger for a longer. I'm sorry.
No, it just seems like I've been around longer.
Well, your hair is kind of like mine, so I thought, well, you know, you never can tell. So what about... I don't see a lot of disturbances here. I mean, there's litter and there's some graffiti. This is the first time I've seen... I haven't seen any other instances of graffiti. Have you?
I have not. This is new. This is somebody else who's just coming into the camp.
There's been trash, but the trash seems to be cleaned up. It just takes longer, is what I've
noticed. That's because the Parks and Rec Department has been out here cleaning up.
Well, get out there and work faster, man.
But I think that, again, and I've talked to many of the people here, I would like to see this work. But it's all going to be efforts on their part. And the word has to get out to this community to just keep it clean.
Mm-hmm.
If we can keep it clean, we can keep it going. But without that, if people aren't going to step up and be responsible...
Now, are there any Sharps containers that are out here? Because that would be useful.
I don't think there are any Sharps containers out here. I know that we have passed out Sharps containers at times. But there's no permanent installation of a Sharps container.
That would be a good idea, I think.
It probably would be. It depends on how long things are going to be here.
Right, until I don't see housing opening up anytime soon.
No, unfortunately, I don't see that happening either.
How do I pronounce your name?
Ross Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you. So, anything you want to say to listeners out there?
Well, just that this is an ongoing problem all over the country. It's a legitimate concern. I think that the city is trying to manage it in a more humane way by giving people a place to actually be. But we're hoping that the people who are involved here will pick up their end and actually, you know, clean up the sites, keep things clean. I understand that there are people who have addiction problems, and I'm not going to cure those for them. They have to do that themselves. But all we ask is that they use appropriate sharps containers, not leave the needles on the ground, not leave the other detritus on the ground. If we can get these people to be responsible and keep their little individual campsites clean, it would go a long ways.
And you'll be making a recommendation that they put in a permanent sharps container out here.
I will mention it, but that is not my position to actually recommend that kind of stuff. My job is just simply to make sure that the cleanup crews that come through here are safe, that nobody is acting out against anybody else.
And how often does that happen?
As far as I know, fairly rarely. We do get some calls every so often.
It's always been quiet when I've come out here, but I haven't been out here much, yeah. So...
Now, our biggest, you know, again, our biggest concern here is the amount of garbage that's here, the amount of, you know, now we're getting some graffiti, but the amount of needles and things like that, that sort of stuff.
How frequently are the pickups, the trash pickups?
I'm not, the trash pickups are daily.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah.
What about the porta potty cleanings?
I'm not sure how often the porta potties
go. Who would know that if I wanted to inquire into that?
I would talk to Department of Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Yep.
That's the group you work for.
No, I work for the police department.
Oh.
We're now...
That began, what, last spring?
Yeah, July.
How is that for you? Is it better, worse, different?
I think it's better. I enjoy it.
What's the improvement as far as you're concerned?
Clear direction, clear understanding. We have more tools available to us, but we're also, you know, working hand-in-hand with the police department to formulate better solutions.
Now, were you out here with Andy Mills when he gave a speech, I guess a week ago?
No, I was not.
Because I know he came and spoke here. I missed the event, mm-hmm. And I thought you might have been. So.
No, unfortunately, I was not. But again, you know, here's the problem. We know that we live in a polarized community when it comes to homelessness. The Santa Cruz is quite polarized.
Some have homes and some don't.
That's right. But there's also attitudes about
oh, yeah,
them.
And sure.
The thing that I try to convey to all the people out here is that how we comport ourselves here is how people will judge the homeless community at large, everybody. We often see one camp and somebody will complain about that and they'll say all homeless are like that. We know that isn't true.
Right, but of course the Santa Mierda website will regard all homeless people as shit regardless of how nicely they behave. That's what I seem to find. I've never, for example, there was a case of the people who rescued folks out there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see a word about that on their website, just to know that there was an accident.
Yeah.
They don't give any credit to people who, you know, do the decent thing, and anybody would. It's
mm-hmm.
not, you know, not an issue. But I think, you know, you're focusing on this and the litter, and I understand your point. But the point is, sometimes it's like trying to tell black people in the South, if only you know you really prove yourself that you're really a good person, the rest of these bigots will like you. I don't think that's necessarily true.
I don't think that's really what I'm saying either, though, because, quite frankly, it's really more up to the individual to how they comport themselves. And like I said, we've got some good people who are out here who are, you know, living homeless, no fault of their own. Maybe it is fault of their own. Doesn't change the fact that they're homeless. Mm-hmm. And they need the help and they need the support. People have got to exist somewhere. I think the city's trying to provide that. But I think that there's been a greater frustration that wherever these encampments become prevalent, the trash is huge. The amount of needles just laying on the ground is huge. And if we could get people to pick up after themselves, keep a clean site, keep an area so that impressions are everything. And I know most of these people here. I deal with most of them on an average daily basis.
How often do you come out per day?
I come out here. I drive. This is part of my beat, so I'm out here three or four times a day at least, just on a regular occasion.
Did you similarly do that in the San Lorenzo Park area?
Yeah.
And it looked like it did require a significant amount of policing, but there seemed to be more facilities.
Yes and no. I think that part of the problem was that was a planned event. That happened because they said, we're going to do this and have that happen. Mm-hmm. This just happened on its own.
People came here.
The police department decided that it was better to let them be here.
And be all over the damn city.
Be all over the city. But also, you know, people got to have a place to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think that this was their solution. But I think, that, again, we're all looking and hoping that this won't fail.
Well, people were coming to San Lorenzo Park before to some extent,
mm-hmm.
and I think after the shut down of the city hall campsite, people moved to the area in front of the post office, and that I think was so visible that people were told by Mills and others, you know, go to San Lorenzo Park. But
those decisions are all made above my level.
Right.
So I mean,
but you're the one. You implement them. You have to come out here and address these issues yourself. So they get to make the decisions, and you get to do the dirty work.
Essentially, yes. That's I do what they ask me to do. I do what I can. I am kind of the liaison between the two. I'm a liaison between what the community, the city wants to have happen, and the people who are out here.
Do you have phone contact with people out here? Because some people have cell phones.
Yes, I have given my actual personal cell number to a few people out here for free issues and things like that.
Do you find that your regularly contacted people can get in touch with you and do?
Some do. There's like only a couple of people who regularly contact me. But most of the time I give out my number. It's just to give them a sense of, if you need help, it's here.
Have you got your card? Can I grab a copy of your card?
Sure.
Back to this exciting saga in a moment, folks, but here's music in the meantime.
Spin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. And I, a tooth for a tooth, vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Well, the only person talking about love and brother is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to my nation.
Home for children.
Oh, yeah. That's what the world is today. Hey. The sale of pills are at an all-time high. Young folks walking down with their heads in the sky. Cities aflame in the summertime. Sound so shooting rockets to the moon, kids going up to soon. Politicians say more taxes will solve everything.
So round and around and around we go, where the world's headed and nobody knows.
And that was an old one, A Ball of Confusion from the Temptations, all you old-timers. And back now to chat with a ranger at the Heroes Camp. What kind of input have you been getting from people in the community about this campsite? Mostly negative, mostly positive, mixed?
I would say it's a solid mix. There are many people who think that it's a good opportunity to deal with it. Some people think it's a good opportunity to put it kind of out in people's face and say, here it is. But then we also have a lot of people who are, you know, quite frankly, when the citizenry come out here and they find their stolen bike in the camp, it doesn't look good for the camp.
How frequently is that happening?
Daily.
And how many bikes would you say per day are found out?
I don't know off the top of my head. I don't work every day, but I know we retrieved one yesterday. We had a homeowner come out here and get a bike the other day. Last time I was on yesterday was my first day this week for shift, but last week we had a homeowner come out here, get a bicycle out of here.
And indeed, as I walked into the campground, there was a guy showing a picture of his bike and looking for it. So it's apparently it's you know, we don't have Grand Theft Auto, we have Grand Theft Bike.
I think it's the Santa Cruz Bicycle Exchange Program.
Yeah, I guess yellow bikes would be better, but we haven't got them.
And you know, again, this is part of the self-policing. You know, people who steal bikes bring on a bad impression into the campground, and that's what the public is taking away. Well, you want to find your stolen bike, this is where you go. So it's kind of working against the people here in the camp to allow that kind of behavior to go on. Again, this is something we're counting on them doing self-policing. Because if they can maintain...
Is that happening? Are people saying, hey, that guy took a bike, go get him, that sort of thing?
Generally, no. Generally, no. And I don't expect it. I don't expect any of these people
It's entrepreneurship at a very low level. I mean, people...
It's theft. It's theft.
It's theft, but, you know, some would call what PG&E and you know, what large businesses do theft, too, only it's more organized and better advertised.
Well, there's a big difference between it, because PG&E doesn't go into your garage or break into your car, steal your garage
door. Cut off your light and your electricity.
That's right, but they
don't... And burn up your forests and things of that sort.
They don't actually go into your garage and take your possessions out of your garage.
Although, if they take away your light and your heat, that's kind of your possession, too. Oh, I know, you're not paying enough to PG&E for it. Well, I'll try not to meddle and let this dialogue continue. I should say, though, that it would have been better if I had been talking to, in response, to get some members of the campground responding. And at that time, I didn't find anybody who was up for a conversation, but hopefully I will in the near future.
Some of these people work hard for their bicycle. They work really hard. They earn their money. They save because they've got to pay other bills and everything like that. It may take them a year to get their top-line mountain bike that they wanted to get that they're just absolutely happy to have, and a week later gets stolen out of their garage. There's nothing good about that. There's nothing that justifies that. That's not PG&E. That's not anything like that.
What are the employment opportunities for people in these tents, in your view?
I don't know. I think that part of it is some of them may not be employable. I know I do see help wanted signs around. We also have the streets team. I know that the team that comes and cleans up for us also hires people.
That's
see
a 20-person team, right, or a 40-person team.
But I also see, you know, help wanted signs in various businesses around town. So I know that there are jobs available for some. But it's part of... What do they do as well for themselves? When being homeless is a very difficult thing to overcome. If you're trying to look for a job, it's very hard to get up in the morning in a tent and try to find clean, dry clothes.
Particularly if you're disabled.
Yeah.
Or elderly.
And then try to get a job. I understand that. But I also see a lot of people who really aren't working towards that goal.
You're trying to pay Santa Cruz rents.
Well, exactly. Santa Cruz rent is ridiculous.
Now, do you live in Santa Cruz or do you live outside?
I live outside of Santa Cruz.
Well, why don't you live in Santa Cruz? It's such a beautiful place.
Because the crime.
It's not the rents. It's the crime.
It's not the rents. The rents are very high, yes, but it's the crime. The fact that I see people when I did live here in Santa Cruz, people looking in my windows of my cars, people walking down my driveway towards my garage.
What section of town did you live in?
West Side. So when I saw that, and then I hear a lot of radio traffic like that as well, when it came time to actually buy, we decided that we would buy out of the city because it just was not safe.
How's for that working for you?
Much better. So it's got a nice little place, far more reasonably priced. You know, between ourselves and our neighbors, we haven't had to worry about people helping themselves to our stuff.
How are wages and benefits on the job you're in?
Wages and benefits aren't great.
And do you have a union that actually represents you well? I know I don't want to.
We have a union, the SEIU, and they're terrible.
And what do they need to do to improve what they do? What would you suggest if you were?
Well, Santa Cruz Rangers are the worst paid Rangers in the state. So it would be nice if our union worked a little more to negotiate a better wage.
What's the average pay grade for a Ranger?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Starting pay grade, ending pay grade?
I don't know off the top of my head.
But you say it is the worst in the state.
It is the worst in the state. I mean, per capita, I think we're like 14% under parity.
And yet here you are working as a Ranger. Is that because you're kind of rooted here or because you have other things that keep you here?
Well, I have always worked in the environment, and when I first signed on, I was warned that this was more law enforcement than what I was used to, but also it's a chance to give back to the community. To be quite honest, as cliche as that sounds, I like the ability to actually do something and try to make a difference.
But you can do that as a Ranger anywhere, right?
I could, but my wife also works, and she has a job that keeps us rooted here as well, so... You know, we're
so
both
until the crash. You're here to stay.
I'm here to stay, and as long as I can do some good, I will continue to do good.
Well, don't let Wells Fargo foreclose on your home, please.
I will not.
We've been talking with
John Roskelly.
Thank you, John.
Okay.
All right.
No, be kind when you use that. Okay.
I'll be. You know, it's uncensored. I'm not going to censor anything out of this.
Okay. All right.
I make the usual critical or supportive comments sometimes, but you know,
I just don't want to get called into the chief's office and. Say.
Bully you around.
No, I don't say bully me around, but maybe you shouldn't be talking to the press sort of thing. We do have press agents who, you know, you're supposed
you're
to talk to.
You're just being candid about...
I am.
I mean, you're not speaking for the department. You're speaking for yourself, right?
I am. I'm speaking for myself, and I'm speaking, you know, candidly, and the things that I have observed, good or bad.
Your experiences here.
Yeah, exactly. And I do take the time to get to know some of these people out here, and I think that some of these people out here know me on... Most of these people out here know me on a first-name basis.
Are you inviting them home to dinner?
No, I am not, but I have bought them birthday cakes. I have bought them food.
Really?
I have bought sleeping bags and shoes.
And you may mention the Sharps container problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe additional porta-potties. I
mean, well, yes, again, we have...
Or maybe a washing station that doesn't run out of water. Wouldn't
yes,
that be nice?
That would be good. That would be... All of that would be good. But I think that... Again, what I'm trying to instill upon these people here is that let's
clean
make this work together.
Keep it clean.
Let's keep it clean so nobody can complain about anything. Nobody can complain, then we can just keep on doing business as usual. You know, that's the real thing is that we need it to not scare the public.
Always difficult when you're dealing with a scaredy-cat public.
Well, it is. Unfortunately, we live in a very polarized community, and some of the concerns are legitimate. Some of the gripes are legitimate. Some of them are over the top. Some of them are exacerbated.
Well, if people are being pressed themselves by lack of funding, you know, and economic mm-hmm. inequality and lack of job opportunity, they're likely to, you know, you'll kick the dog if the boss kicks you. And it's a natural, or I don't know how natural it is, but it happens a lot, I think.
But to be honest, I mean, this is me, John. Quite honestly, if I was in this situation, the first thing I would do is I'd get out of town. Santa Cruz, the gap of what you need to get off the street to not be homeless and what you're getting when you're on the bottom is so huge. You know what rents are here. You know how hard it is to get into a place. Anybody who sees a driver's license with a Coral Street address is less likely to rent to that person. But the gap is so big. I don't see how people can actually get off the streets here in Santa Cruz. If I was in this position, I myself would head inland. I would go to another community that didn't have such a large homeless population, that had better opportunities of employment, where I could afford a place to rent and live. And I know this actually works because I counseled a woman just like this in Poganip 2 years ago. And I'd go and visit her and tell her, you know, this is what you've got to try to do, is you can't survive in Santa Cruz. You're not going to make it.
And she did.
And she moved. Mm-hmm. She left. She went to Salinas. She got herself an apartment almost right away. She got a job because she was able to get a shower and present herself clean. And she was working within weeks. She ended up meeting a guy. They have a little baby now. She came and she came up to me about a year ago.
And you even invited her to dinner, Brad.
No, I didn't invite her to dinner.
You've never done.
My wife hates it when I bring people home.
You could do the cooking.
Well, yeah, but after a long day here, I don't feel like cooking too much. But again, the point is that it can be done, and some people do that. I understand people who are born and raised in a place, and they want to stay there and live in the community. And to them, I say, move, make your money, earn your nut, come back with some coin in your pocket so you can rent a place that you can afford and you can be off the street.
Where the rents are even higher when you return.
Well, they always will be, unfortunately. And until we find a solution to the housing issues, that unfortunately is going to be the problem. But people are freezing in their tents while they're waiting for rents to come down.
Any people you engaging in fires here at night?
Oh, yeah, there's fires here. Yeah.
And are they, well, I guess it's not, is there much of a fire danger here? Is it more of a...
Well, not now that everything's wet, that's for sure. But I'll tell you, I found a smoldering tent right over there with nobody in it about 3 weeks ago.
Did you whip out your fire extinguisher?
Yes, actually I did. I pulled the fire extinguisher out of the car. We put it out. But I also, praise where praise belongs, a couple of the other individuals who were here camping also came over with water and helped put the fire out. So, you know, you got to understand that, some people are responsible and recognize what the issues are. You know, smoldering tent looks bad.
And also, it's, you know, I mean, you have a kind of a community that develops simply because people are near each other, I think, mm-hmm. to some extent.
Yeah, exactly.
As well as, and is there much inner tent thievery happening, as far as you know?
I hear about it all the time. To be honest, I hear people complaining about their backpacks being stolen, their bicycle being stolen out from under them, guitars. I hear about a lot of stuff being stolen from one camp to another. I've heard about people wanting me to intervene because they found their stuff in somebody else's tent. So that, unfortunately, does still go on here.
And is this your main... You say this is a part of your beat. You probably go to other campsites in different places in mm-hmm. the city. There have been concerns that Parks and Rec and police confiscate property, and it's difficult for people to get it back. What's your response to that?
I don't know that it's really confiscated property, because a lot of times what happens is we'll make every effort to make contact with a person who has stuff. If we come across a camp, we'll actually post it so that they'll know that we've been there. If we talk to them, it's like, hey, man, you got to get your stuff together. A lot of these people will know that I go up and talk to them. It's like, hey, man, you got to move out of this spot. You can't be here. Please grab everything that's yours. We go into Nary Lagoon. There'll be a camp there. We'll contact those people. Please take everything that is yours out. Everything you want, please take with you.
How long do you give folks to do this?
At least 24 hours. Sometimes we'll give them much longer. A lot of times when I'll come across a camp, like, say, in Poganet.
360 Santa Cruz on yellow.
60, go ahead.
Are you code 4?
I am.
10-10.
I'll come across a camp in Poganip, and it's quite clear that these people aren't going to be able to pack up and be out of there in 24 hours, mm-hmm. which is what we would like them to be. But I'll say, all right, how long is it seriously going to take you to get out of here? And they'll say, a day. All right, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 2 days to get out, pack everything up, take everything.
How often does that work?
About 50% of the time.
And are you? Do you give them a destination, or do you just say leave?
We have no destination to give them other than right here. So it's just, they'll ask me, and I can't tell them where they can camp, because I do not know any place they can officially camp other than here. And I don't want to give somebody conflicting information, say you can go camp over there, and then have an officer write them a ticket for being over there, because it's it's like setting them
illegal,
up. I feel like I would be
here.
Setting them up.
You would be. So, and that often happens from what I hear from accounts from homeless people.
Well, what we're also doing is that we're taking on a more... You know, we're not going to be citing people for sleeping outdoors. We're not going to be citing people for simply trying to exist.
But if they're in a park after dark, you are citing them.
It depends on the park. It depends on the issues. But also, if somebody's got a large tent set up or something like that in Poganip or something like that, yes, we've got to move that encampment along. They may get cited for that encampment being there. But they're not going to get cited for, you know, again, we'll try to work with them to give them time to get their stuff and get out.
When did the Ross come to Ross as an alternative begin to happen officially by Parks and Rec, where you could actually say, try Ross?
I don't know exactly when that switch was made, but it's been that way for at least a month.
At least a month.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you get back to your work.
Thank you.
And I'll get back to whatever I'm doing.
Okay.
And again, we've been talking with
John Ross Kelly.
And if folks want more information about what Parks and Rec is up to, who can they contact? Where should they go?
I would just say go to the Parks and Rec website. I couldn't tell you exactly who to contact because they've changed directors. They have a new director there now, too.
So, Tony Elliott?
I'm not sure. It sounds about right. But
I think he replaced Well, Garcia was replaced by Carol Skurich, who was replaced by Tony Elliott.
Yeah, I think that's the route it went. But yeah, talk.
You could be next. You could be the new boss.
maybe that's not exactly what I'm looking for.
Pay grade goes up.
Pay grade, exactly. But again, I mean, they've got a lot of things they have to deal with. And so at the end of the day, you know, it's.
Well, you get to deal with real people here rather than other bureaucrats.
Well, that's it. And to be quite honest, if I had the desk job of being the director, I wouldn't be able to be out here.
Chatting with me.
Chatting with you and chatting with the people here in the park.
I'd come to your office. We interviewed Tony Elliott, too, so thank you.
I got to be honest. I mean, some of these people out here I've known for a few years, and they're actually good people, and some of them I have a really good rapport
with. Homeless people, good people? What's wrong with you? Are you crazy?
No. Just because you don't have a home doesn't mean you're a bad person. Now, coming to my garage, steal my bicycle, that might make you a bad person.
Dress and a bicycle, I could... we won't get into that. Thank you, John. I appreciate the time. And if you want, you can hear this. It'll be archived on Free Radio. It's not going on the radio right now. Our transmitter is down here. That is a mercy for you. But it is going to go on a stream. And people who want to hear it, yourself included, can actually find it by going to the website.
Okay, very good.
You can hear yourself.
All right.
It's pretty exciting.
I used to be in radio myself, actually, once upon a time.
What radio?
I was down in the San Francisco Bay Area. I started off in a high school radio station, worked a couple radio stations in the Bay Area after that, back in the 80s. So,
well, if you want to pay into the rent of Free Radio, you can too become a broadcaster on our pirate station. So,
well, believe me, I know how well radio doesn't pay, unfortunately.
You don't pay nothing, you pay us.
I did a lot of volunteer work at other radio stations once upon a time, but it's a good forum, it's a good media outlet. And like I said, some of these people out here are good people, they're just have a bad situation, and you know, help the ones we can help, help the ones who want to help, and the rest.
Do what you can, keep it up, and, you know, the more facilities out here, the better, I think.
Well, I think so, too. But, again, also, we gotta work on the other stuff, too, the litter and the needles and stuff. Now, if another Sharps container or Sharp box out here would probably be a good idea for needles.
Yeah.
Give them somewhere to put them.
Extra washing stations, extra porta-potties, extra trash pickups.
Yeah.
You know, I could think of other things if I worked at it.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there. Thank you, John.
All righty. Thank you very much.
All right.
Take care.
And unfortunately, you hear me kind of catering to the nice guy. I'm the nice guy interviewer talking to the reasonable Parks and Rec guy, which is how it sounds. The trouble is that most of the work of Parks and Rec is not helping out people in the parks. It's helping them leave or helping them get citations at different points. I don't know that there actually has been the kind of official shift in policy as was happening last year under Mauro Garcia that had Parks and Rec people essentially facilitating people in parks or at least leaving them alone after dark. That remains to be seen, and perhaps if I get my energy up, I don't see it happening immediately, but we're getting more volunteers over at Huff to do this. Maybe we'll look at some of the Parks and Rec citations for the last few months and see if they've dropped off their nasty stay away and stay out of the parks approach. Next up is the City Council and my commentary and questions about City Council members as they all kind of crowded together for the great celebration of the new City Council on Tuesday night. This, of course, was the time when they refused to present an emergency ordinance that would help tenants weather the vacation without eviction threat or reality. And that, of course, is the great sin to me and the great crime and the great, essentially, revelation. It's not really much of a revelation. It's what I expected of the pseudo-progressives who call themselves progressives, including Drew, who also had the opportunity to make such a presentation. If he said he didn't know how to do it, he damn well should have, because I'm sure that the matter came up at least in passing among other people. If it didn't, I'm quite surprised. I certainly brought it up repeatedly. And I may have even brought it up to him individually, but I'm not sure about that. Anyway, let's listen in. And that'll be it for this edition of Bathrop's Beers Broadsides. Call me at 423-4833 if you have questions, news breaking, or if you want to be in part of the Free Radio Collective, or if you have any information about a 10x10 site for us to set up a studio or locate a transmitter. They could be two different places. In fact, we prefer they would be and there's a reward of $300 to find such a spot. Talk to you again on Sunday, or talk at you again on Sunday at 9:30 in the morning, assuming I have the energy and the will to do so. Cheers.
So it's about 5 to 7 in the Santa Cruz City Council chambers. I wouldn't say it's packed, but the seats are all filled, and a lot of familiar faces.
I am here for a similar reason, except he's not my buddy yet.
I think last 2 years ago, when there was an earlier coronation, there were more folks kind of crowding into the aisles and spilling outside.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see if anything happens tonight. I suspect nothing will. But we'll see what we'll see. A lot of old-timers, some youngsters. The Gleeful Police is here. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Am I trotting on you? Luckily, you've got some protection.
Yeah.
Speak with Drew Glover, a new council member, and asked me if he was putting it on the agenda. He gave me a smile and a shine on. So it's hard to say what actually is going to be happening. What do you think, Nate? Any comments? He smiles and says nothing at the moment. Here is. This is just a feel good celebration, which I guess is alright. I don't know. Or is it something where substance will be done?
What
do you think for Free Radio about this event?
I'm excited, but it's too bad that Proposition H was not voted, and I'm still, every election, I'm disgusted with people who bitch and moan and they don't vote.
And we're talking with?
Aline Smith, 45-year resident, old-timer.
And still not kicked out of your house?
Not yet.
Are you in danger of any of that?
No.
Good.
Great move. But plenty are, and we'll be talking about that on Sunday. Join us then.